going to read it from the book of John chapter 4. And I just thought it was really fitting what Felicia read this morning, because this passage really kind of works into what we're trying to say. It's just really cool that everything kind of flows together. So here we go. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, 'There are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest'? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already, the one who reaps is receiving the wages and gathering fruit for eternal life. So to that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true: one sows and another reaps. And I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into the labor." Many Samaritans have from that time believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." Let's say our scripture declaration together. Lord, you honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's practice.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Yes, and we are going to just kind of move through and do a couple of things a little different just because of the problems that we've got with the computer. But let me just share with you, this is not an end of David. This is actually, we're just going to take a week off because there are some folks that are going to be traveling. We actually have a good crowd today compared to what we sometimes have on a Labor Day or weekend or whatever like this. But we wanted to just wait because next Sunday, we're going to be talking about one of the most important and pivotal things that ever happens in David's life. It's the time that has the sin with Bathsheba, and it is something that just creates a total change in everything that happens with David. And I didn't know if you guys were going to be traveling and wouldn't see it, but I wanted to make sure that every one of us was on that page if we were able to be. And so we postponed just one extra week here so everyone could be a part of David, and that will begin next Sunday. And so I just want to share that with you. We're getting towards the very back end. This will be about the 9th time that we talk about David's life. We'll probably have 11 or maybe 12 times that we preach about David's life. But please be here next Sunday, a powerful message waiting for us, just simply because of all that is in God's Word about this. So we'll pick up there next week. And I just want to begin here. This is a very basic question, okay? I'm going to say 3 words, and I want you to put one on step 1, one on step 2, and one on step 3, okay, in your mind. And then we're just going to see if we're all on the same page, okay? All right, so let's begin here. First word is job. Second word is career. Third word is calling. Okay, you guys with me? Let me do that again. There's job, career, and calling. One of them needs to go on step 1, one of them on step 2, and one of them on step 3. Now, we're going to go from low to high, okay? How many of you have job on step 1? Can I see your hands out of that group? Everyone there? Okay. Look, maybe I wasn't very clear. Maybe you guys think of things very different than I do. I don't know. But I have always thought to myself, beginning from low to high, it begins with a job, and then next comes a career, and then next comes a calling. Now, are you guys just not in the mood to raise your hands? Is that what's going on? I mean, y'all are like, look, it's a holiday weekend. You just be glad I'm here. I might nod my head. I might nod off. I don't know. But Yeah, okay, so here we go. Job, career, then calling. So here is what's very, very interesting about this story that Paul read the very end of. Here is Jesus moving from one place to another. He's going from a place through Samaria towards his hometown. And in the process of it, he is not doing that thing that we know Jesus to do. You know, namely where people get together, there's a whole crowd of people around, and he teaches them, and they all listen, and they all are amazed. Sometimes people get healed. It's an amazing thing every time that Jesus teaches. That's what he's known to do. In this passage of Scripture, he's just walking from one place to the other. He's moving from this place in Israel to this place where he lives. And so as he's moving in that direction, there is still important things that are getting done in Jesus' life. And so he's not really doing his job, but he never stops doing his calling. You guys understand the wording I'm using there? He's not doing his job as the preacher and the teacher, but he never stops doing his calling because as he's going through, he meets a woman at the well. You guys know from John chapter 4, the story of the woman at the well. All right, I'm going to try this one more time. Maybe y'all are a little slow. Maybe y'all are just a belligerent bunch today. But how many of you have ever heard of the woman at the well? Can I see your hand? All right, a few hands being raised today. Okay, this is good. This is good. All right, we're good then. I mean, it felt like we were off the same page a minute ago, but now we're good. So here we see Jesus doing his job, but not his calling. I mean, he never stops doing his calling. He is doing that thing that keeps us moving in the direction of God. And here is what I would share with you. What I find powerful about this for us is that many times we say, well, I've got to get up on Tuesday morning and I've got to go to my job. I don't know if you and I always see our jobs as opportunities for us to accomplish our calling. Do you see the difference? Do you see how things are? Or you may even say, I've got to go to my job, but one day, eventually, I hope to have a career. And so we see these tiers of lower to a little bit better to a little higher. And how many of you guys know, I mean, my wife is an educator. I know we have many educators here. I know that there are nurses. My sister is a nurse. And I think of those two professions specifically about the very, very easy thing that we can see that there are people that approach it as a job, and then there are people that do it as a calling, right? Amen? You know what I'm talking about. And I don't know if you are like me, but it was so important for me that if I had my kids in a classroom that I felt like the teacher was not there for a job, but she or he was there for a calling, because that's how the impact gets made. And so before I begin any further word, let me just share with you, as Jesus is passing through Samaria, he never stops doing his calling even though he's not doing his job. This is an example for us that as we do our jobs, we can never lose sight that we have a calling that is higher than our job. It is even higher than our career. It is important for us to grasp and understand that ultimately we have a calling as Christians. And so we need to be doing that. And oftentimes the best place, the best mission field that we have is when we are doing our jobs and then we take it into a whole nother level where we bring it into the fact that we are doing our calling for God's glory. Now, real quickly, if you remember the story, and if you do or don't, I don't know, but let me give you a very, very brief synopsis. Basically, what happens is Jesus walks into town. And as he walks into town, he's been out on the dusty roads and streets. And he's tired, and his disciples are going off to try to find food for all of them. And so Jesus has a seat, kind of like the seat that I was taking just a minute ago, just at the edge of a well. And it's in the middle of the day. And now you and I would not know this because last time I checked, we don't have to go to a well to get our water. All we got to do is just turn the tap, right? So this is good. But the woman who walks up at that midday point is there at the well. And that was a public place. Everybody who wanted water for their home had to come into that place. And most of them would not come in the middle of the day because it was always hotter in the middle of the day. And this woman comes in the middle of the day, not because she didn't know she needed water for the day at 9 a.m. when it was a lot cooler, but because if she came at 9 a.m., she was going to interact and intersect with all of these people that she didn't want to deal with. Because this woman was the one that everybody whispered about. This is the one that everybody talked about behind her back, and sometimes not so good behind her back. And they were doing that pretty openly, so much so that she was coming at midday so she would not have to intersect or interact with these people who looked down on her. An incredible story as she walks up to the well and she sees a man standing there or sitting there, probably sitting. And as Jesus is sitting, he simply says, "Can you give me something to drink?" This is all going to be the New Texas version, okay? "Can you give me something to drink?" And she says, "What are you asking me for? You're clearly a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan, and Jews don't like Samaritans." Now, I'm going to do this something to learn, if you don't mind. It's going to be up on the screen eventually. We're going to put it up there. And I want to talk a little bit about this and just share with you, ultimately, as we look at this something to learn, Jesus did care about this woman, but she had no track record to think that he would. Because there was hatred between the Jews and Samaritans, and most Jews would literally go further out of their way to avoid human contact with the Samaritans. But instead, Jesus, in essence, said he had an appointment in Samaria in verse 4. That's what the Greek basically is saying. And then after his meeting with the woman at the well, he stayed in that town of Sychar for 2 additional days. Jesus was building bridges that spanned religious differences, that spanned gender differences, that spanned cultural differences, and maybe even a tiny touch of racial difference there. So Jesus is building these bridges to these people, and specifically to this woman at the well. And before he leaves, the majority of the town is a believer in who Jesus is. So this is so powerful and so important. But let me just share with you, as he says to the woman at the well, he says, "Can you give me something to drink?" She says, "You are a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. Go even further, you're a man, I'm a woman. We don't need to be talking, you know, because you hate me and I got nothing to do with you. Why are you asking me to do you a favor? Why would I do that?" Kind of thing. That's all there in the subtext of what's going on. Jesus says to her, "Well, you need to understand that if you knew who I really was, that you wouldn't be asking about this drinking water. You'd be asking about living water, because that's what I can provide." And she says, "Oh, so you're one of those guys. You're like a prophet guy. Is that what we're dealing here? Is that what we're talking about here?" And Jesus says, "You know, I'm definitely a prophet." And then she says, "Well, I've heard that Messiah is eventually coming and that you Jews care a lot about that." And he says, "I'm the one who's speaking to you, and I'm he. I'm the one. I am the Messiah that's to come." And so everything is amazing. And then she says to him, or he says to her, excuse me, says, "Why don't you go call your husband?" And she says, "I don't have a husband." And this is one of those awkward moments. Because back in those days, usually you were known as a woman by who your family and your family connections were. And Jesus says, "Go call your husband." And she says, "I don't have a husband." He says, "What you said is true, that you don't have a husband because the man that you're with right now is not your husband, and you had 4 other husbands before now. So what you said is really true." And then she's like, "I do see that you're a prophet. You know my whole story, and yet why are you still talking to me?" And isn't this a beautiful reminder that God does not care where we've been, he cares where we are going. He does not care about the things that we have done in the past, so much so that it prevents us from saying, I can have a future with this Jesus and his forgiveness. And so this woman at the well, Jesus has made it his day's work to reach to a woman who no one else cares about, to make somebody feel special that nobody else has cared enough to even talk to. They are fine to talk about, not talk to this woman, right? And so all of this is happening, and so Jesus finally says the words that he's saying, "I can give you living water, I can change your life from the inside out, and you will never thirst again. And so as he shares all of these different things, there comes a point where she realizes this man is no ordinary man. He's not a normal man. Instead, he is truly this Messiah. And so she runs into town and brings everybody back and says, come and see a man who told me everything about my life, even though I've never met him. And then the disciples, in that interim, as she's going, the disciples show up. And this is where Paul read that passage of Scripture. And they're like, hey, you want something to eat now? We can grab you something to eat. And Jesus says, I've already got food that you know nothing of. The thing that I've brought has brought me nourishment has nothing to do with putting something in my mouth. It's this person that I actually accomplished my calling with. I've reached to somebody and I've changed a life. And this is nourishment for my soul. Are you guys with me? Y'all understand what I'm saying here? And again, like I said, I'm just paraphrasing all of this. You can go back and read that if you'd like later on. But then he says, they're like, well, somebody must have brought him food. He said, no, that's not it. And then he goes into this short discussion. He says, listen, I want you to know something. For most of you, you're out there saying, there's 4 more months until the harvest, but I want you to understand something. The fields are white to harvest right now. So lift up your eyes and look at the fields because they're ready for you to move in and harvest. And he's talking about spiritually making a difference in people's lives. In other words, guys, if you can lift your eyes from job and lift your eyes all the way to calling, you realize that there are people everywhere who need to hear from you that there is a difference in living life with God rather than living life apart from God. And so here's what I want to just share with you. And if you don't mind, Colin, let's give it a shot. Let's try to go to slide number 11, if you don't mind, okay? And we're going to give that a shot here. And I just wanted to kind of lay the foundation, 3 different things that you see in what Jesus says, that Christ in his perfection had work to do. He said at that moment, he said, listen, my Father is working and he sent me here to do work. Now, in our world these days, it'd be great if every one of us didn't have to work at all. But the truth of the matter is that we are made and designed to work and accomplish things in our life. And that retirement is not always easy, and it's very hard to find purpose. And then I'll talk about those opportunities that we have now. So work while you can work. And then thirdly, every one of us has a different role. He says, I've called you to go out among the sheaves. And I've called you to go out there and do these things that you are called to do, not for somebody else. Someone else has already planted and watered. All you have to do is go in and harvest. And each one with a different job and a different situation. So that brings us to our big idea, which is our next slide. And we're bringing this to a close quickly here. But this is our big idea. Your work holds great value in your world now, and also in God's eternal kingdom. And here's what I mean. I didn't do those words just kind of willy-nilly. In your world now, here's what I mean. For you and for me, if we want our world to change, then we need to reach out and partner with God and say, God, my family needs to be different. God, my relationship with this person needs to be different, whether that's parent or spouse or whoever it might possibly be. We need to say the way that things change in our world, not just this big grand scale of our world, but our own personal world that we actually have some sort of impact on. It changes as we bring God into it, not as we push him out of it. And so if you do not look at your life as accomplishing a calling, you might do a good job raising your kids, but they will not have the fingerprints of it being a calling for you. You will just simply have done your job. Now, I don't know about you, but that almost is like a slap in the face to me. I want my kids to say, my parents saw my raising as their highest calling. And can I tell you something? My highest calling is not to preach the gospel. My highest calling, according to the Bible, is to be a great husband and to be a great father. Those are my highest callings. And then I am to be a great Christian as well. It's those things that I'm called to do and to be. And then later on comes the pastoral side. And I always want to take it very, very seriously, but I need to be very careful that I don't think that the great things are somewhere else and they're right there at my feet. The opportunities are right here in my own home, just like they are for you and for me. And so if we're going to do an eternal work in God's kingdom, it begins now as we have the opportunities right now. So on the count of three, would you guys read this with me? Would you say this big idea with me? Okay, here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Your work holds great value in your world now and also in God's eternal kingdom. Now, I want to just share something with you very quickly. There's a quote by William James, and I want to share it with you because it is powerful. And if you are going through your life and just simply doing your job, that's good. There are people that are not even trying to do their job. But I'm here to tell you that there is a whole different way of living that is much higher calling and much greater impact and more purposeful living. But you have to determine and decide that instead of just simply going through the motions, I will give my all to the important things that God has placed in my path. Now, all right, before I even read the quote, I'm going to ask you guys to be honest, but please don't raise your hand because I don't know, maybe your boss or somebody you work with, maybe it'll get back to them. But we all know that sometimes we can do our jobs almost in our sleep at certain times. Can I get an amen, right? You know what I'm talking about? We've done it so much that it just becomes like we're on autopilot. Not every part. Sometimes we really have to focus and bear down. But sometimes it's almost like autopilot. Here's what William James says. Everyone knows that on any given day, there are energies slumbering or sleeping in him or her, which the incitements of that day do not call forth. Compared with what we ought to be, we are only half awake. The human individual usually lives far within his limits. In other words, you might be doing your job, but you're missing opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to actually accomplish your calling. There is a huge difference between job and calling. And until you fully engage, until you bring your very best every single time that you possibly can, people won't care about what's changing your life until they see that it's changing your life. If you're just like everyone else going through the mundane and one foot in front of the other, another Monday, another Tuesday, that's not going to change anybody's life. As Jesus sits there and speaks to the woman at the well, she's amazed at him and enthralled with him because he is engaging with her. And it changes everything, not just for the Lord, but also for her. Now, let me ask you another question before we go any further. Is there someone in your life that you alone can reach, but you have been so distracted that you have never truly actually engaged with that person to the place where they are wondering what makes this person so different than everyone else? Because ultimately it is God's goodness and God's grace that changes people, but until we have that on us and you can see it in us, then people are not interested in anything that comes out of our mouth. They want to see what is coming out of our lives. They want to see it coming out of our eyes and out of the pores of our skin. You know, it's got to be real or else it will not change anybody. Now, let me just share with you very quickly. I want to go to don't miss this on slide number 18, if you don't mind. And here's what I want to share with you on the don't miss this. Although he is about to be accepted in the hearts of all of the people of the village, Jesus is fully present with the woman at the well. In other words, the whole town is about to come to him and say, we believe because of what we've heard and seen from this woman and what she shared with us. He's about to have, probably maybe 100 people who are asking to talk to him, knocking on his heart's door, Jesus, pay attention to me. Jesus, talk to me. Let me hear from you the way that she has. All of this is about to happen. And in that moment, Jesus is not rushing to get to the next thing. He's fully engaged with the present thing. Now, let me ask you a question. How often do you find yourself being somewhere else mentally when you're somewhere totally different physically? When you're at home, you're worried about what's going on at work. When you're at work, you're worried about what's going on at home. You go on and on and on down that list, but for most of us, we are rarely fully present where we physically are. And so here we see Jesus in this amazing example of being just as engaged one-to-one as he was to 1 to 1,000 to 10,000 people. He was just as engaged. It didn't become bigger for him. It was always the same, and it should be for us as well. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to go to the labor that you'll love, and I want to just share these three things, click them through very, very quickly on that slide number 19, if you don't mind. And I'm just going to share it with you guys all at once. Always be aware that you are in a place that has value no matter where you are. Jesus' contemporaries went around Samaria so they wouldn't be there because they didn't think that it had value. But no matter where you are, where God has you, every single moment of every single day has value. If you can always look at it in that way, it will change your outlook. Always be aware that it is your calling, my calling, to bring value to others no matter who they are. No, we don't say, well, when it's important, that's when I'll pay attention. That's when I'll engage. When it's somebody important, that's when I'll, you know, be aware. No, no, no. No matter who they are, no matter where you are, be engaged, be a part of that, and do your calling no matter what. And then thirdly, wherever you are, be there. Don't be somewhere else. Engage exactly where you are. And this is how your labor will shift from job to calling. And so I share with you today, it is so vital that we don't lose sight and don't lose the sense of God's presence. So real quickly, one more don't miss this on slide number 21, and then we'll talk about how I apply this message very quickly. As we go here, we share, we feel half awake because more often than not, we choose entertainment over engagement. We choose to be consumers instead of contributors. The truth of the matter is that I feel a little naked right now because I left my phone in my office. Y'all ever have that moment where you're like, oh, no, I don't got my phone with me. And then you start doing the pat down, you know, that feeling in that moment. Oh, no, what am I going to do? And how am I going to do this? And what, you know, all of that. The truth is I've told people 100 times myself, they're like, I'm sorry to make you wait. I'm like, oh, that's all good. I got my phone. I'm good. Am I the only one? No. Why? Because it entertains us. It occupies us. Can I ask you another question? Now I'm going to get real, real meddling. Have any of you ever been sitting there talking with somebody and nothing beats, nothing buzzes, nothing, you know, nothing does that? You're just sitting there. And then, like, there's kind of just this little bit of lull in a conversation and they go. Have y'all ever had that happen before? What are you doing? You're choosing entertainment over engagement. You're choosing to consume rather than contribute. See, I talk about it all the time in every single one of the things that I send out to you every Sunday morning. Come to be blessed. And then what's the other line? Come to what? Be a blessing. See, most of us, we're good with being blessed. And if we leave on a Sunday morning, we think to ourselves, you know, it just wasn't really hitting for me today. It wasn't quite exactly where I wanted it to be. I just wasn't really blessed. Can I tell you something? You missed the assignment. If it didn't hit you, then you were not here to be blessed. You were here to be a blessing. And if you didn't do that, then you missed your assignment. Every one of us is called to come into God's presence and to be blessed by his presence, but also turn around and be a blessing. That is our calling. And we often get so busy and wrapped up in our jobs, so busy and wrapped up in our phones, so busy and wrapped up in the things that we're choosing that distract us, but we do not engage with those around us. It's important. We've got to choose engagement, and we've got to be contributors, not just simply consumers. All right, I'm going to tell the worship team that they can go ahead and come right up, and we're going to get finished in just a quick second, but here's how you can apply this message this week and even today. So let's check out this next slide on the I apply by. You look at your own life, and I ask the question, are you engaged? And if you are saying that you're engaged, then the question that you can answer then is, with who? Well, you know, a lot of people, it's like, okay, well, go ahead and give me one name, it's cool. You know, just let me know, who is that one name? And then if you can't come up with one name, then it's philosophical, but it's not actual, right? And then I ask, are you a contributor? And I don't want you to misunderstand, because I know sometimes people are a little touchy about this, about, you know, oh, it's about money at the church. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that at all. I mean, you can be, but the whole point is not to be giving money. It's to be giving a blessing to other people, be an encouragement to someone, to hear that somebody's gone through something, give them a call, shoot them a text, all of these different things. And this is how you start small. You can do some small connection, text, call, just some act of service, some gift in some small way, that you reach out and you are the blessing, not just simply looking to be the blessed. And so as I share this with you, I look at Jesus. I look at him encountering a woman who needed somebody to care because nobody else did. And Jesus, who could have said, ah, I'm a rabbi, I'm a famous man, I'm a person who has a reputation to protect. None of that mattered. None of that mattered to him. He waded into the ugliness of her life. And he said, I know it, but it doesn't change that I love you and I want to see better for you. And in the midst of it all, Jesus changes her life. She goes and tells the whole group that will listen, come and meet a man who told me everything I ever did. He knows my whole life, and yet he loves me. Me, the one that all of you talk about. I found somebody who accepts me. It's Jesus doing his calling, building bridges to mankind that nobody else can build. And so as we, his children, do the same, we realize that we have a mission field. Almost every single day, you are surrounded. I am surrounded by people who have difficulties, hurts, hardships, and maybe just simply, you know, personal pain that nobody else knows about. And in the midst of it all, you and I have an opportunity to be a blessing. So we have to choose that rather than just simply stay at a distance. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to realize that ultimately, as we build our lives around you, we do so, Lord, giving ourselves to you, not on Sunday mornings, but every single morning. Not just simply with those who are easy or those who are, you know, far off, but instead, Lord, those who are near, who we can touch and impact. I just pray, Lord, that you would bless us. May we never choose to be disengaged from those who we come in contact with. Lord, we may never have another opportunity to engage. May we not lose sight of the power of a connection. Lord, make us bridge builders as you were. And in all things, dear God, make us a blessing. You have blessed us. Make us, Lord, a blessing, we pray. In Jesus' name.